Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 2 of Tall But True.
The second episode.
We're
cranking it up, man.
We are cranking it out. It's a storytelling show.
Yeah.
It's me, Ben Bailey, and my good old friend, Mr.
DC Benny. I'm not that old, but we've been friends for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm climbing up there.
Oh, dude, I just have the silliest bit. I spent the afternoon with my oldest friend. He's 108. Say, I read War and Peace. He walked from the kitchen to the bathroom. So yeah. Stupid. But this is episode 2 of Tall But True, where the tales are tall, or might sound tall, but they are true.
Yes, ish.
And true, exactly. True-ish.
I think they're pretty true.
They just have to be good stories. That's the whole thing. We used to do a show called Urban Myth
back in the day. Urban Myth was great. Yeah, we did it in a jazz bar and the zinc bar in the village, and everybody came through there, and there'd be... everybody would have a theme.
We'd have a theme night. Everybody come in and tell a story, according to theme, if they weren't too out of it to realize.
Yeah.
Some guys would do their stand-up set, and we'd be like, no, this is a storytelling show.
It was great.
And we loved it. We had such a great time.
Everybody was like behind the scenes of comedy. That's what was great about
it.
It's like, you see everybody's acts, you know their acts, but then, they got these great stories from their lives and... behind the scenes and everything. We had a nice little cult following of 10 people.
Yeah, but the room only held 10 people, so it was sold out every week.
Fire marshal comes at 11.
But it was great, and it was a great time in our lives. We all became good friends, and it was a great Tuesday night hang. And so this show is basically about that.
Yeah, little shout out to that.
Little shout out to Urban Myth. Tales are tall, but they are true. We had a great first episode with our special guest, Mr. Colin Quinn.
Yes,
he told an amazing New York story. Tonight's theme, not New York stories, obviously, like last time, but travel road trip stories. So anything to do with travel or road trips or anything.
Anytime you say foot out the door is basically,
foot out the door. It's stepping out. That has a different connotation, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay, it's not about stepping out. That'll be another episode. But it is Tall But True with me, Ben Bailey, and DC Benny. And today we have another great guest, just like we did the first episode, a very talented and funny young lady named Rachel Feinstein.
See, now we got to figure that out. If it's Feinstein, we've known her for years. I say Feinstein, you say Feinstein.
Became self-conscious because now it's on this show. I'm like, is it Feinstein or is it Feinstein? Or... think about this.
Yeah.
If it's fine, why isn't it Stein? And if it's Steen, then why isn't it Feen? Like, shouldn't it be Feenstein if it's Steen? It's either Feinstein or Feenstein. It can't be Feinstein or Feenstein.
Man,
this is...
Well, I've called her Feinstein for years, and she hasn't said anything.
I think
it's
Feinstein.
It is? Like, when somebody mispronounces your name for years, and then... they don't say anything, and then hopefully it's not that. But she's great. She's hilarious. She's going to be on. She does all those great characters and stuff.
She's got great characters.
She came and did Urban Myth, too.
She talks about her mom a lot.
Yeah.
Because her mom is, like, a great character.
Oh, yeah. With that
And she's hot. Thing. Rachel's hot.
Oh, yeah. Rachel's getting old.
I know you're married. I have a lady, but I feel like if we're having a pretty woman on the show, we should say so.
Absolutely.
Just for their sake.
For the audience can use the imagination.
Yeah, yeah. So the guys at home.
You can Google an image. and then do what you will.
All right, so this is it, guys. This is episode 2 of Tall But True, starting now with Rachel Feinstein. All right, today's guest, as promised, Rachel Feinstein. Hi, Rachel. How you doing?
Hey, boys. It's good to be here. You sound like a man's man.
It's funny.
He's very manly.
I felt about as feminine as I ever had. I was like, hey, Rach, how's it going? And you're like, you sound like a man's man.
He's getting a manicure right now in the basement.
What? Yeah. What's up? Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at home right now. I'm packing while I'm talking to you guys.
Nice.
Packing? And, where are you off to?
I'm off to St. Louis tomorrow. I'm not name dropping.
Yeah.
St. Louis, funny bone, because I'm worth it.
You should eat at the White Castle there. It's great.
Oh, yes. Thanks. I feel like that means you care about me.
Love that club. That's a great club.
Yeah.
It is a great club. The crowds are really good there.
The crowds are good. There's that guy that works in the box office who sits in a wheelchair and everyone just abuses him.
I do finally emotionally abuse him. I know it's the same dynamic.
But they don't care. I've even talked to them about it, and they're just like, yeah, we grew up with him, and He wasn't sick when we were kids, and he was such an asshole
that
he got sick and none of us cared. Kind of brutal, right? But that's actually what they said to me.
That is very fucked up.
Yes, so fucked up. I know. But anyway,
it's okay to forgive. He's in the winter of his life, just continue to lash out like this. This isn't right.
How old is this guy that's in the winter of his life in a wheelchair?
He has a degenerative disease.
Oh, Jesus.
But I feel like it's been winter for a long time. How old do you think he is, Rach? He's like 35, 40?
No, I was saying when he is in the winter of his life, if they're still abusing him. But he's no Keith Robinson. That's sure.
How is old man Robinson?
Yeah, how is old Robinson?
Keith is the oldest living comic. Keith Wayne Robinson is the oldest living comedian.
Made of granite.
How is he? He's old.
He is old like the hills. Well, Rach, it's great to have you on. I'm so
excited that his special was called Winding Down on the Porch, and I got a few people to believe it. It was one of the most satisfying moments of my life.
Oh, that's
you're going to get hate mail for that.
They were like, so your special Winding Down on the Porch is coming out soon?
Oh, my God. Did he laugh? Was he...
he has to take it. He's the biggest he trashes everyone. He told the audience that I dressed like a district attorney the other night. And it hurt. I really thought I had my look together with my Paula Poundstone blazers. He's like, why does Rachel dress like a district attorney?
You could have been a district attorney. He was Rachel. Doing that look.
Thank you.
You could have been
the
assistant DA.
Strong compliment.
Yes. You could have been a snitch for the DA, is what I meant to say.
That's so high.
All right, so it's a story show. It's Tall But True, where the tales might sound tall, but they are true, or true-ish, as true-ish. DC keeps adding in there. And tonight we're talking about travel, road stories, you know, anything along those lines. Do you have something good for us? Have you... I'm sure you've had some crazy stories out on the road. I can't imagine being out on the road as a woman.
Right.
It's crazy enough as a dude.
Attorney. That's got to be.
It is truly chilling. It's truly chilling.
I'm sure it is, man. It's like in Forrest Gump when Jenny goes and tries to play her guitar. And they're like, take it off, bitch!
So I got picked up at the airport by three guys. I've asked, I'm like, look, can we just have like a car pick me up, you know, but three men, that's a threat.
So you're going to a gig and they send three dudes to pick you up.
Three guys to pick me up at the airport. It was like, you know, they were just, even, you know, when the email even makes you sad, like the advance, you're already just like, you're already falling into a low grade depression.
It doesn't take long, does it?
It
you're
really
like, why
doesn't.
The fuck did I take this gig?
Matt Thomas.
It was like Boone, Marty and Sal will be at the. I'm like, it stopped. Stop the right. Oh, that was
so
an assault.
This was Parlor Live in Seattle.
Three guys picked me up at the airport. I have my suitcase with me, and then we go to walk to the car.
Right.
Two of the guys kind of ran ahead, and so I'm back with I don't know who it was. So let's say it's Sal.
Okay.
He was wearing a Halloween T-shirt. It was like April or something. It was very arousing. He was just a smear of a man.
I hope he's listening.
He had the body of like a melting candle. Just picture that.
Nice.
So,
man titties.
So, and I had this massive suitcase because I was doing one of those really long weeks in Vegas. And so I had this big suitcase, and then we go to get on the elevator, and the elevator's broken. So we had to take the stairs. I'm pulling the suitcase up, right? Doesn't lift one of his delicate Halloween fingers to help me. He's just sitting there happy as a clam. I'm like, ugh. I'm making sounds. That moment, I don't even understand because it's like, isn't that nice? Isn't that a nice moment? Moment, you know, for a guy, like, just help me with, like, it's so easy. It did not occur to him, but I was genuinely struggling with it. It wasn't like, you know, I was pretending to be weak. It was a big suitcase. It was a lot of stairs. Didn't give a shit. So I'm trying to pull it up. Finally, I was like, could you help me a little bit? And he kind of sighed, like, Jesus Christ, this bitch, you know? So he helped me.
Like, there's
slowly,
three
but
of
then
you.
Later complained to me that his arm hurt. When he was helping me, that hurt his arm. So that was fun.
And he's totally genuine. Like, he's honestly,
100%.
He's not just
like
playing
that's
around.
Hurt my arm when I was doing that before.
Hurt my arm like, moving your suitcase.
Sorry to hear about that, Sal. Keep me updated.
Like your name is Sal.
Shake out.
You're supposed to be, oh man, this is unbelievable. So he,
three useless dudes pick you up. That's
absolutely useless. No mothers. None of them had mothers. And so then I am about to go. I'm supposed to go on stage. I get to the hotel. My room key doesn't work, right?
Oh,
and so they had to send somebody downstairs to. But there wasn't enough rooms in the hotel, so they had to send somebody downstairs to literally replace the thing on my door, you know, because I couldn't move towers. I was like, you know, there I was in the champagne tower and there was no room in the fantasy tower or the hooker tower or whatever else. So
right.
It was like the bunny tower's packed, you know. So is there any space in the Godless War tower? But there was no space.
Oh, that's booked. And Vegas, so, that thing is packed.
You're right. Vegas is certainly teeming with godless whores, if nothing else. So yeah. I was like, I was stuck in the
Jews
tower.
I love that this could be a period piece, this interview.
So I'm trying to open the door. It's not working. And so then they send this guy up to help me. And I was just chatting with him. I would just flew cross country. So I'm just like sitting with my suitcase, hanging out, just, you know, quietly chatting with this guy, right?
Right.
And
Is this Sal or is this Boone?
No, this is a guy, a mechanic that worked at
the
hotel.
Oh, this is a guy, the
number four.
The maintenance dude,
so,
guy number
and
four.
He keeps asking me questions like, you know, I'm sitting there and he's going like, you're funny, you know, prove it, which is, you know, things like that. So he's just like, you're not funny. You're not funny. You know?
Just fix the damn lock, right?
It's a nightmare.
So I was like, you're right. I've never even said anything ironic in my life, sir. And so he's trying to open the door. He just keeps accusing me of not being funny. And then everything I say is like, that was a little funny. You know, when people watch you throughout the evening, like they track you, like you're on some sort of a game show and they have a meter when you're not on stage with whether you might actually be doing what you say you do, being a comedian, you know? So he kept kind of being like, oh, wait, maybe you are, you know?
Yeah, maybe she is. I don't know. Yeah, totally.
So I was just
kind of gently
resting on my suitcase. So then he lets me in finally. And then, this is terrifying. So then, more than funny. So then, two nights later, I am fast asleep. It's 3 a.m. He walks in the room.
Yes. He walks into your hotel room?
He walked into my hotel room. Okay.
Checking that lock.
So,
well, he made himself a key? Or he probably has a key.
He probably has a key. And I had the top lock locked. Okay. So there's the story is terrifying with some funny moments. But,
yeah.
But, so then he opens the door at 3 a.m. And so,
unbelievable.
And then the top lock is locked, you know? So that thing, thank God, because I usually forget to do that, but it was locked.
That thing that you flip over.
Yeah, that flip over thing.
I always forget that when I'm walking out to go to get ice or something, and then it's.
And you're
know,
like,
slams, yeah.
Yeah, I do that too.
God damn it.
Sad moment. Yeah.
Oh my God, Rich. So he like put his key thing, his card in the key thing.
Put his key thing in.
Opened the door, but it had that thing on it.
Into my room. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
my
so,
God.
And he was slamming it open, like repeatedly, you know? And I shrieked. I was fast asleep. So, and then
holy
I'm
shit.
Like, get out of here, you know? So I called downstairs at the hotel. Somebody came up and, I told the security guy and he said, I said, can you talk to him? Like, what in God's name is going on? And he said he was never called to your room. He said, that he never got – no, he said – I'm sorry. He said he did get a call to your room and that you needed something. I was like, well, is there a record of that? Because I never called downstairs. And so he's like, yeah, we checked it. We said, you know, there is no record of her calling. And then he said, well, then maybe it was another room, which I don't understand because it's like why, even if somebody did call, you would knock at 3 a.m. if there was some mechanic-based emergency.
You don't just open the door.
Knocks.
Yeah.
You just open a door.
Oh, my God, Rage.
Wow.
That's crazy. So wait, how did you know that it was him outside the door?
Because I jumped up and I saw him.
Right.
Know?
Holy
because,
shit.
You know, if I thought about it more, if I wasn't asleep, I would have just like called and not even gotten up, you know, but you're like wondering what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
my God.
I guess he really did think you were funny then. He wanted to, you know.
He did. Or maybe he was just trying to make, maybe before he was just trying to make sure I wasn't, you know, because maybe he just didn't think that was sexy. So we wanted to make sure I was sexy, not funny. God forbid.
That is crazy. So then what happens?
Yeah. Well, I told him at the club and they just kind of treated it like I was, They treated it like I was like making up a crazy, like I was all about drama. You know,
you're
like,
kidding me.
You and your drama. You went to the wrong room. Get over
histrionic
yourself.
Women.
No one wants to rape you, Rach. You know, and I'm like, no, I really. This isn't like a fun-loving tale. This is like I'm telling.
Oh my god, it's horrible.
Alarming. But they all kind of just like I reported it. I wrote it down, but they didn't care. They'd never do. But so there's really no end to that, except that people that go to that hotel should live in fear. But
wow. That's crazy. That is so fucked up. I can't believe that happened to you.
Yeah, it was weird because a lot of the people at the club were pretty nice, but everybody was just confused when I told them that story. So I don't know. Anyway.
Did they like know the guy or like they know who the guy was?
Finally, I got one guy in the security to take it seriously, like in the security team. And I'm like, it's not just about me. I don't need like it's not that I want like a fruit basket. I want you to stop this man.
Yeah, we'll send you an amenity. You're like, no, we need to stop this monster.
Exactly. And he was just like, ma'am, what can we do to refresh your room? For
we got some mints.
How about, yeah, yeah. Put a chocolate free turndown service.
Stop this we'll send you lunatic.
Extra
you know? Send you a couple of plums. Yeah.
You know, now that I think about it, like a buttload of strawberries. Maybe
he'll never rate. How about chocolate-covered strawberries?
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, that's horrible.
Crazy. That's like every, I mean, but, if you're a female comic on the road to have like some kind of rapist in the hotel that, you know, has access to all the locks, that's pretty crazy.
That's a fucking nightmare, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and thank God you flipped that thing over. It gives you a glimpse into what it's like because a lot of times the websites will put the name of the hotel on the website. And I'm like, you can't do that. Like, there, I get psychotic emails daily from just
from
the craziest
people,
you know?
Really?
All the time. Yeah, any female comic will tell you.
I wish I hadn't known that before I invited you on the show. Just kidding, Rach.
Just like, no, just like some, yeah, just some guy that makes me a lot of unstable collages. Like, he'll put the two of us in like fun-loving situations together,
oh,
you know?
God, are you serious?
Yeah, he just kind of creates our own like sort of rom-com of a life. One guy changed his last name to my name on Facebook. So, and then he listed me as his sister. This one's kind of funny. And
wait, what did he do?
He changed his last name to my last name on Facebook. And then you know how you can like tag your family members? He tagged me as his sister.
Oh my God.
That wasn't so true. I was his sister.
Wow.
What was his first name?
I don't remember his first name.
It was like Ephraim.
Cyrus Feinstein.
I like Cyrus. That's a good one. He wrote me a lot of emails, like, and then he kind of sort of resigned as my stalker. I was actually entertained by a lot of it because it was kind of hilarious. You know, I wasn't, I think at the time I hadn't been doing, when that happened, I hadn't been doing stand-up that long. So I wasn't as disturbed by it. I just thought it was kind of hysterical. It was annoying when I had to keep untagging him as my brother.
Yeah, well, I guess the ladies get more, get more stalkers.
Oh, God, men, yeah.
You don't really get it so much unless you're super famous, you know. I mean,
I've had a couple of
you just have to have a
crazy
couple of appearances
folks
on basic
but,
cable. If you're a girl, you could be on the Stars Network once,
right?
Yeah. if you're an attractive woman,
you're good, you know,
they just come out of the woodwork. Well, that's awful. Do you have any stories that don't involve potential rape?
Yeah, I have.
That was good,
okay,
though.
Here's a
that
fun
was good.
One.
Sorry, I'm just trying to keep
here's
it light. That was a great, very.
That was great.
I was on the edge of my seat for that story, and that guy is a piece of shit.
Okay. Yeah, he is. He's terrifying. Okay, so.
I had a similar thing. No, I'm just kidding. I was in a room once, and I. It is similar. It was like a motel.
Yeah.
This is how long ago this was. It was a motel, you know, where so the door goes to the outside. It doesn't go to a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes right out to the parking lot. And it was in like West Hartford, Connecticut, which was an absolute shithole at the time. It was a Ramada Inn in the parking lot with a McDonald's, a Wendy's, and a Burger King. All three of them in a parking lot. And then the Ramada, or no, not a Ramada, I'm sorry, a Red Roof Inn back behind the three fast food joints. And I'm like, I go to the desk and there's like, you know, there's like 50 dudes and their cars hanging out outside.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only white person for 1,000 miles, it feels like. But I'm cool. I'm like, whatever. These guys are just doing what they're doing. No big deal. I'm just going to go to the up to the counter and check in. So I go up. I get there. Bulletproof glass.
Nice.
I've got to, you know, everything takes place under that little thing.
Yeah.
This is meant to be a pretty short, a quick story, so I'll speed it up. But so the guy, they don't have any room keys left at all. So the guy's like, I'm going to have to take you to your room and let you in. And then when you want to come, when you come back later,
amazing.
You're going to come
yell through the broken window.
You have to come back to the office and I'll take you and let you into your room again.
Oh my God.
And you know, there's a part of your head that's just like turn and run right yeah. now and stuff like, you know, but I'm like, okay, God. Fine.
It's an underground tunnel, the check cashing place.
Yeah, totally. Just leave all your valuables. So this guy walks me to the room. Takes me to the room. He lets me in. I go in. I change. I shower. All that stuff. I go. I do my shows. I come back. I get back at like 2 a.m. And I come and I'm walking around. I got to go get this guy to let me into my own room. So I go. I get the guy. It takes 10 minutes. Finally, the guy's ready. He comes out. He walks me into my room. He lets me in. Like a minute or two go by and I'm in a room. And I'm just sitting on the bed there. And, because I started hearing these guys talking right outside. Can't hear what they're saying, but they're like... And I'm just like, instantly, I'm like, holy shit, what's going on? There was nobody outside a minute ago. Now I'm home, and there's or back, and there's these guys here. So sure enough, a minute later, I start seeing somebody moving the handle. They're trying to open the door to my room. And I'm a terrible person. I was like, oh my God, these guys are here to rob me for sure. And they're trying to open a door. I hear them trying to open the door. So the only other piece of furniture in the room is like one of those super heavy, like study lounge wooden chairs, yeah. you know, with the fabric seat in the middle. So I pick that thing up and I'm behind the door and I'm holding this like 30-pound wooden chair behind my head. And if one of these dudes comes in, I'm just going to clock him with the chair as hard as I can.
Death by vinyl chair.
So while I'm standing there.
Oh, I would wish I could have seen you. You must look like such an asshole.
Oh, I was in my underwear. I look like such an absolute idiot with this giant chair holding it ready to smash some guy.
Tube socks. Bomb equipment sweatshirt.
No, I was strictly underwear, but we can make it that if you want.
It's that kind of tale.
So, just when I'm sure they're just going to bust in and I'm going to have to fight my way out of this situation, I hear the guy outside go, oh, shit, this is 142. Where's 242 at? And I yell from inside my room. I go, it's upstairs. 242 is upstairs.
Have a nice night, gentlemen.
Have a nice night, you fucking assholes. You scared the shit out of me.
God, just that sentence saved his own life.
Yeah, right, and mine probably.
Him saying his problem out loud.
If I had smashed him with a chair, I probably would have been shot or beaten within two seconds. So what else has happened to you out on the road? Do you have time to share another one?
Crack,
yeah, another thing. Another fun thing that happened. I was in also in Vegas. This time it was a culinary institute in Vegas. Again, I'm not name dropping, but
are you performing or are you learning how to make chicken
cordon bleu?
I was performing
at the Culinary Institute of Las Vegas.
Awesome. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
At this point, I'd arrived in show business. It was,
Hey, that's a good gig to me. Good food.
Yeah. Throw down.
Well, here's the thing. The weird thing is that they didn't offer me any food. And then for some reason, when I was on stage, the stage was a couple of crates that they used for food covered with a few pieces of cardboard, and I was performing in the cafeteria. So it was just the most – they were like, when you step on stage, which is the most foolish step you're ever going to take in your life.
You're on a milk crate?
Okay, some crates for food. It was a little larger than milk crate. It was some sort of large crates that they used to carry food, and there was just enough in it that I could do – I could use some body language, but if I wanted to do any strutting, I was in trouble. I'd fall off the crate.
This is an unbelievable story. I can't get over the first thing you very casually said, which was, they didn't offer me any food.
Yeah. They didn't offer me any food.
The Culinary Institute of America.
Not only did they not offer me food, but they were making – so I was performing and in their cafeteria, and even though it was a Culinary Institute, they just made, you know, like – it was just like Hungry Man's and like Celeste pizza, that kind of food, you know?
Yeah.
And there was And so I was in front of the microwave. So the kids were frustrated because a lot of kids wanted to make a Hot Pocket or warm up a Hot Pocket for themselves.
They thought it was going to be Gaffigan.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Doing it, you're right. And to warm hot up like pocket. A taco or a Hot Pocket or something. And then so, but I was in the way of the microwave stove
obstructor.
Situation. So I was, exactly. So it wasn't, they didn't see me so much as a comedian there performing them, but just an impediment to them eating a taco. And they were angry.
It's like every college gig ever, you know.
What a life we lead. They were pissed. I mean,
you had to do an hour in that scenario.
To be fair, they deserve to eat. Yeah. But I didn't set up the situation.
To be fair, there were a lot of tacos that needed to be eaten.
Yeah, and so they had to awkwardly go around the stage, and they were making these loud comments, you know. And they were
Did you have a mic? Did they have a mic set up and everything? Or
I mean, yeah, they had a mic. It was shitty. I was.
Bad setup, but at least they had something.
They had something. They had a mic on top of those lettuce crates, and I was standing there. And then
Please welcome
like,
to the
I'm
crate.
I'm sorry, you guys. Like, it's not my fault they set up. At one point, we actually got an actual discussion about why they might have set up the stage here, you know?
Yeah.
And
while
then
you were
this
on
guy,
stage.
The guy in the back, like, you know, he was completely useless. Like, one of the, you know how the organizer of those college events, they're either like a super anal on top of it, like, you know, you can't, like, overly on top of it where
they're going to be at, like, CAA in 5 years, or they're the complete opposite, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, where they just don't
like
have a clue and they literally didn't
no
do
idea what
anything.
You're talking about. Yeah, and you call them and you're like, how do I get onto the campus? I'm a little confused. I'm outside. They're like, just keep going. And they hang up the phone, you know?
You don't know what direction I'm facing.
you're useless, Gus.
Look for the books,
so
man.
So I'm on the crate, and Gus is in the back. He doesn't give a shit, you know? And I'm like, yeah, maybe we should move it and start over. And he goes, just keep going. It was exactly his same thing he says for directions, you know? Just keep doing your thing, you know?
That's
great. When you have an actual legitimate gripe on stage and they think that it's a confidence-based issue, I'm like, no, I know that my responsibility is to continue performing. But what I'm saying is that these people need to make their tacos. And we've got to figure this out, Gus.
Let's all just switch around. Maybe we put me on the other side of the room
numbers,
from the microwave.
Move some things around, figure out how we could have set this up better. But Gus didn't want, he wanted no such part of it. He didn't want to stand up is what he didn't want to do. So I was like, all right, fine. So I kept doing my set. And this guy is heckling me. And he threw a soft taco at me.
He threw a soft taco at you?
Yeah, he threw a soft taco.
I will kill these guys, Rachel. Where are these fucking dudes? Come on.
It was really sad.
You throw hard-shelled tacos at women, not soft.
That's the most.
There was a sadness to the fact that it was a soft taco because if you didn't break, it was a less exciting moment. It just kind of hit my like tittage area and just sort of sadly rolled off.
A flaccid taco.
Taco hit you right in the tittage area.
Yeah.
These are all going to be hashtags.
Rolled down. I'm like, Gus, can I please get some backup? Gus just kind of looked at the guy like, come on, man. And the guy was like, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. That was my bad. That was the security where you tell somebody after they've thrown something at the comedian. They shouldn't have done it. And they're like, yeah. Nah, that was on me.
No, I'm good. Sorry. You're right. I shouldn't. I was out of line. I apologize.
I was. And it's funny because later on, I was doing some club in Roswell, Georgia. I don't know if you guys know this one where they pay you in they like kind of tip you in go-kart tickets. Like they have
It's a funny farm.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah.
Funny
yeah.
farm.
Funny farm.
Yeah.
And they go and they're like, hey, look, you know,
I remember that place.
You were great to see. Take
in
a
go-kart
few spins
tickets.
On the go-kart, it's on us.
We don't have any money.
Is that a taco in your pocket?
Do you like ski ball?
Oh,
yeah,
that's crazy.
That was your dinner, the taco.
No,
so right, you're at the
you,
funny
babe,
farm. I actually
how
like.
How would you like to take three spins on us go kart right over there?
Go as long as you like. I own a place.
It's wow.
So I actually like
you've
that
arrived,
room.
Rachel. You know you've arrived.
Yeah, then you've made it when you get
so
an extra
like
couple
big,
of laps
big,
on the go karts.
I
actually like that room at the funny farm because it was made to be a theater as part of some other weird little show. They did some play in there. But yeah, that's it. That whole thing was pretty ridiculous.
It was a real shit show at the funny farm.
It was a shit show for sure. And the people that were hanging out in that arcade after the shows were over,
They're felons. It was just teaming with felons. Felons.
I had a guy come up to me. I was in a little driving video game. I was squeezed in there. I could hardly fit in there, so I couldn't get out. And this dude comes up next to me and he goes, "Did you call my son a little fucker?" I'm like, I'm gonna get my head beaten in because I can't get out of this.
You're gonna get pitchforked.
Game. Yeah. All right, so the funny farm.
So
sorry. Yeah, I got excited.
This guy came to the show. The mic wasn't working all weekend. And I was like, okay, I can deal with a lot, but the microphone needs to work. Or yes. Jokes are bombing. It's cutting out again and again. And they were like, I can't remember what the name of the guy is that ran it, but they were like, you know, whatever. They're like, Marcel's away, but you can call him on his cell. So I'm like, all right. So I call Marcel. I'm like, Marcel, the microphone doesn't work. And he's like, oh my God, that's horrible. I'm going to leave you 10 more go-kart tickets. You should never have to go through that.
It shouldn't have happened to you, but.
Go, Rachel.
Around and around.
You know, I don't know if you've had this experience where, like, a friend comes to see you from high school or that knew you earlier in your life.
Oh, God. I'll add that one, yeah.
Yeah, and they think they've been watching kind of what you're up to on Facebook, and they think you're, you know, you're pretty cool and you're doing really big things. And then they come and they see you in not just a bad situation, but a dangerous situation.
Every time I'm back in D.C.
Yeah, you just see all the belief just kind of drain from their face.
That's the worst.
And my friend came with her whole family. I remember that her family, I had a crush on her brother. Like, I was like one of those, you know, and I was like, they've seen things I've done. They know I made something of myself. So I go on to this club.
For now.
I bombed for like a nice 60 minutes. It was like loud bombing. The microphone kept going out again and again. I kept trying to address it, but I was running out of like a variety of funny ways to address it. It was like a real wild, deep, you know, like code red bombing where you're sweating, you can't walk very well, your depth perception is affected afterwards, you know. Right. I was shook up. It was like a real traumatizing bomb. Oh, they were so alarmed, so concerned. You know when you're on stage and you're already thinking about the way they're analyzing the sadness of the situation in their carpool home, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I was just hearing their conversation in the car, like, well, I thought she had said some funny things at one point. She did. She said humorous things in high school, but she's probably depressed now. Something's wrong. There's something wrong with her.
Do you think she's going to be okay?
I thought her skit was pretty good. It was pretty good. You don't need laughs. Not all comedy needs you have laughs.
It was just one of those situations where they each just took turns saying the same thing over and over.
She should fix that microphone. You're responsible for every part of the show.
Yeah, like you bring
do
it.
Do they bring your you bring own it. Or does a club provide
Becky
it?
Donahue used to do a joke like that where I think it was her mom was like, you should do the Letterman. You should always try to do the Letterman. Yeah. Why don't you do the Letterman?
Man, I haven't seen her in ages.
It's just never occurred to you before.
Yeah.
You know, my dad used to always call. He'd be like, why don't you just call Robert De Niro and have him put you in one? He would love you. You just call Robert De Niro. You do the whole with the, just call Robert De Niro. It's like that thing.
Yeah, okay, Dad. My dad used to say, why are you so concerned with writing all this original stuff? Why don't you just do your favorite stuff that's already been done?
Why don't you just steal? That is amazing.
Yeah, well, he just had this like vaudevillian idea of what stand-up would be, and I'm like, insert your comic of choice, right? I'd say to my dad, because then I'd be...
I had to restrain myself from the, you know... Did they end up, since you did not do as expected, did you have to give go-kart tickets back?
Or like, you didn't
that's
do your
really
time.
Good question.
They cut you short. Really, no, no go-karts for you.
As it gets to the question. Mm-hmm. You know, I luckily since Marcel was out of town, there was nobody to give them back to, so I could just
frame them.
Whirl around that go-kart without a care in the world. There was a guy that came to that show. It was funny, though. He heard me. I did some sort of podcast or thing where I talked about getting the soft taco thrown at me. And he heard it. Or maybe I talked about it on radio or something. And he brought a taco with him to the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he put a note inside of it. It was very alarming.
In the taco?
Oh, the flaccid
inside of the taco.
Taco.
He came walking up to me sweating. And,
I love
you know
that.
When
it's a
you've
fortune
been
taco.
In so many bizarre situations that you know exactly what's happening when you should have no idea what's happening? You know what I mean? Like, as he was walking
wait, say that again.
The
what did
taco,
you say?
I already knew. Like, she somehow, knew. I've been in so many insane, unacceptable situations that I was like, oh, he heard the thing I did on the radio this one time, and he's bringing the taco right. with me to... Right. You know, possibly start a romance between the two of us. That's what's occurring.
I brought you a taco. I heard you like it if guys throw tacos at you.
Yeah, he's planning it the night before. I'm going to write it in nice cursive letters.
There's a note. I had a guy bring me a note up on stage. He stood up in the middle of the show and he brought me a note on stage.
It said what did
something,
it say?
Said something about Jesus wouldn't approve. Or some shit like that. I'm like, oh my God.
Did you read the note?
I read the note and I did the rest of my show about the note and the guy.
Did
and
it
he
kill?
Eventually
it
he left.
It must have killed. It must have, they always want to know. They want to know what's on the note, man.
I just analyzed, you know, my silly, I just analyzed it until it didn't make any more sense. It didn't make any sense at all.
It's funny how sometimes if the person's really dumb, it can be a gift because it just entertains you in their utter, but it's just, it's almost always awful. But if they're true, but if they're really stupid and it's particularly funny, it's like the right cocktail of awfulness. It can be a weird, weird gift that you get. That, yeah, but like I was at this club in where was it again? I think it was Nashville. Wait, I think it was
Zanies?
Nashville, Tennessee. Not Zanies. I'm forgetting now. What was it?
Doesn't matter.
It was a really, I don't know. But anyway, it was a really good club, actually. It was some shithole, but the crowd was good. But then one of the nights, this guy comes in. I'm in the middle of my set. He's really drunk, just this red-faced, drunken asshole, you know?
Right.
And he's like, he just he's an, you know, when you just, they're not even angry at anything that you're saying. They're angry that you're up there. They're just like, why are you up there?
They're angry that you're you and they are not you or whatever the hell it is.
He's just looking at me like, like he could just, you know, when you see that person kind of suspiciously glare, that drunken suspicious glare where you're like, oh, this isn't going to be good. You know, he started to get suspicious of me even though I was just doing my set. And then he started heckling me and screaming stuff. I can't remember exactly what he was yelling. And then I said, I just like mocked him somehow. And then he goes, yeah, well, you have a camel toe, right?
Oh.
And I looked down, and I did not have a camel toe. Like, but I couldn't think of anything funny to say except for, no, I don't. It's not, I analyzed the situation and I didn't have one. And I was, this is
you
another
have a
show that I had friends
toe.
At. I had friends out, and this is when they're watching What Your Life Is. It's somebody's saying this to you. I look down and I'm like, I was like wearing jeans. I'm like, I don't have a camel toe. And then this woman goes, no, she doesn't. It's the way the light hit her jeans. I had thought that too. When she first thought that. I thought the same thing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
She had a camel toe. But
it's funny.
I saw a crashing up in there. It's an illusion.
I thought it was a camel toe at first too.
And now the whole show just breaks into the audience analyzing whether or not I have a camel toe.
Oh, shoot.
And no, baby, I thought so, too. It's not a camel toe. It's not. It's a lot. And so then
it does. She looks at you. It does.
This guy keeps screaming and heckling me. Eventually, he gets kicked out. And then on his way out, this is recent. I was preparing for my special too. Like, so you know when you're running a set, I was like a few weeks before I was doing my hour special and I was like, don't break the set, don't interrupt it, you know, not even for somebody telling you that you
it doesn't matter what they're doing, stick to the material.
I was trying so hard, and then and at a certain point he gets kicked out, and as they're bringing him out of the room, he goes I work on Trump's staff.
God,
that was his like threat to me or whatever. He said,
was this
I work
a while
on
ago?
Trump's staff, and you will be hearing about this in the media. Trump will speak about this in his next speech, which is the most confusing threat.
Yeah, so this
I've
is like pretty
heard.
Recent.
Like of all the confusing nonsense that Trump says, I just didn't really know how he would pitch that as an angle to Trump. Like, so I went to this comedy show. This girl had a camel toe. Bring it to the stage.
Had a camel toe, but
it kind of
not
fits
really.
Though,
it just
anybody.
Looked like a camel toe because the way the light was hitting.
But if anybody was going to include that in their political agenda, I mean, there you go.
It would be Trump.
Yeah.
I do have to say, when I hear him, when I see like Hillary Clinton debating him, it almost seems like the fact of all the things they've ever said about her, the biggest insult is that she now has to debate this man. She could have a better debate with a space heater. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, what in God's name is he babbling about? So you're right. If there was a speech like one political figure that could somebody could possibly pitch that to, and they'd be like, sure, I'll talk about her camel toe. Why not? I'm saying a lot of other crazy shit. Sure.
If I become president, America will be a place.
There will be no camel toe allowed.
Will never perform with camel toe. Or even light that makes it look like a camel toe. I'm just running on a no camel toe ticket. There'd be like a whole shitload of supporters. Like, I am against camel toe. Or anything that looks like camel toe.
Again, boys, yes. I did not have a camel toe.
No, I know. I'm sorry. We need to make sure that everyone understands. Rachel did not have a camel toe.
That district attorney.
It was the way the lad hit my jeans.
It was just the way the lad. But to be fair, more than one member of the audience.
It was shading. Shading in the crevasses.
Rach, do you have to go? I know you have a spot soon.
Yeah, I should go.
This was so awesome. I'm so glad that you did this. I really appreciate it. I hope you had a good time.
I had
just
so much fun with
stories.
You guys.
Cool. Well, maybe we'll do it again. Have a great spot.
I would love to. I'll see you guys downtown soon.
Yeah, cool. We'll see you, Rachel. Continued success.
Sorry, buddy. Do you have anything
Thank
to plug,
so
Rach?
Much.
Do you have any November or December gigs to plug?
If anybody wants to listen to my special, they could see it. It's called Only Whores Wear Purple, and it's on Amazon and iTunes and cc.com.
All right. Only Whores Wear Purple. And what's your Twitter handle, yo?
At Rachel Feinstein.
At Rachel Feinstein. So it's Feinstein, not Feinstein.
I had been saying Steen for a while, so we had a little debate beforehand.
Like, is it,
sorry about that.
Is it Feinstein? Is it
At a certain point, it's hard to ask. You know what I mean?
Yeah, after 25 years. Yeah. Is it Feen? Like, Feinstein makes sense to me. Because it's fine and
it's
Stein.
I'm Irish. It's O. Feinstein.
O. Feinsteinian. Irish, Armenian.
You can, I really don't care. You can say it however you like.
Okay.
Hilarious as usual.
Yeah, that was awesome, Rach. Hilarious. Thanks so much. Have a great set.
Thank you so much, you guys.
We'll
see
you
soon.
We'll see you. Take care, Rach.
All right, that was the always hilarious Rachel Feinstein. Those are some crazy stories. Man, I can't imagine being a woman, being a comedian out on the road.
I talk to these girls, and I'm like, man, how do you do it? I mean, because it's, you know, when you're at that level of, like, where you're just grinding and you don't get the perks and the this and the that, you stay in the shitty hotels and the motels and whatever. To be a chick on the road and, like, with these places, it's bad enough when you're a guy.
Yeah, you know? It is. It really is.
I mean, geez.
Man, hats off to the ladies.
Yeah.
Hats off to the ladies.
Hats off to the ladies.
For going out there and living that life. It's amazing. It can be pretty harrowing and frightening as a large man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, so.
Exactly.
Anyway, thanks to Rachel Feinstein for being on the show. That was great. We continue with more stories about road trips and travel right after this. All right, we're back. It is Tall But True.
Tall But True.
Great handful of stories there from Rachel Feinstein.
That
was
Rachel
awesome.
Had a scattergun of them.
Yeah, she did. She was like, I can't stay long. I'll just tell you like
they
a
were
whole
harrowing.
Bunch of awesome stories. I can't imagine being a woman on the road. We were saying it's amazing. Road stories or travel stories is the topic. We've all had these crazy experiences out on the road, not just comedians. I'm sure everybody does. I know you've had some crazy road stories or some crazy things happen to you on the road, I should say.
Yeah, man. I got this, I did a gig. I think it's been almost 2 years now, but it was out in, it was me and Mike Britt, another
Mike
comic.
Britt, yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny,
Mike
dude.
B? Wait,
Mike
B.
He was
Mike
Britt. B, but now he's Mike Britt.
He's Britt again? Or
he's Britt again.
Wasn't he Britt and then B and then Britt?
He was B and then
Britt.
Or he
was Mike B and then
I don't know if
Mike
he ever
Britt.
Went back to B.
Okay.
But the dude's a powerhouse.
Yeah,
so,
dude, he's hilarious.
He's
man.
A powerhouse, man. So he and I got booked out in, it was like somewhere near Boston, somewhere in Massachusetts,
right
out there. And the guy calls me, he's like, and I'm like, what's the lineup? He's like, you're going to headline it. And Mike's going to, he'll be the middle. And then we got an MC. And I'm like, he's like, Mike will do 45. Then you'll do. And I was like, Mike's going to do 45.
Mike's going to do 45.
I got to follow.
Before
he's like, then
you.
There's going to be an intermission. He's there's going to be an intermission after Mike's 45. And then you, I was like, dude, that, I'm like, I don't want to take money off the dude's table, but man, I mean, guy's a power. He's a headline. He's not a, you know, I'm like, don't expect, you know, my style is very mellow. So don't expect fireworks at the end. The show's going to taper off a little bit, right? So guy's like, I know what I'm doing. Don't worry about it. You know,
45 minutes is too long for somebody to open, especially somebody.
Well, they have
super
a local. They got
act.
A guy opening. They got a guy opening. Then Mike. Then an intermission. You. Then me.
Right.
All right. So you
intermission.
Know, so I could see this thing is not gonna. I'm like, all right. So we're driving. I'm like, dude. You know, he's like, you know, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We get there. And it's in a. It's like a. It's a hotel, but there's like a dining hall built into the hotel. And we get there kind of in the middle of the day, and people are lit. I mean, people are lit because they've been drinking all day already. There was open bar. So the crowd is just, you know, they're carting people out of there like crates, you know. I mean, and it'll be some lady coming out, you're a fucking retard. You're a wicked fucking retard. You're a retard. You know, I know Marky Mark. I'm Marky Mark's cousin. Like, it's just like that whole intense, like, you know, boss, you fucking retard, you wicked retard, you retarded. You know, it's just people hammered, right? So we're looking at each other like, man, Mike's the only black dude there, you know.
Right.
It's me, they don't know what the hell I am. You know, everybody's retarded. And so the opener comes up, and then he's like, yeah, I'm local, I'm retired. Yeah, it's going to be fine. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good time. And there's a guy in a wheelchair. And it's one of those wheelchairs where...
In the crowd?
In the crowd.
Okay.
And he's like going around the crowd, and he keeps telling everybody they're retarded. I'll never forget this. He's like, you're fucking retarded. You're retarded. He's hammered. He's in the wheelchair. You're retarded. So I'm like...
It was Doug Saunier.
I think I told Doug about this, actually. So the show starts, dude.
That was how you show.
These guys are, I've never seen such a drunk crowd. I mean, I've never seen a crowd so drunk so early, right? They're just, people are hammered. Dude. MC goes up and he does this thing about, like, he's like, who's here, who here's driving drunk? Right, and everybody's like, and he's like, they can't get us all, you know, they can't get a, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, he's like, who's here as a cop, right? And everybody's like, so there's all these drunk cops that are driving in the audience,
God.
Right? So I'm like, this is horrific.
Shit.
So I get a call when this guy's on. I get a call from we have a friend named Brian Scolaro, right?
Mm.
Brian calls me and he's like, hey man,
Scolaro, love the Scolaro.
And he's like, hey man, I see I was looking online. I see you're working with this dude. You know, the guy who's opening up, he's like, I see you working with this dude. He's like, man, because somebody told me this dude's been doing my sneezing joke, right? And you and I know Brian sneezed. That's his linchpin. Yeah. He's got like 10 minutes of just different types of sneezes. Yeah.
Yeah. Are these your eyes?
Are these your eyes, right? Are these
mi madre.
You know, so it's like,
yeah.
It's one after another. So I'm like, he goes, will you let me know? I think he actually texts me. He's like, will you let me know if the guy does the sneezing joke? So I'm like, yeah, okay, right?
Wait, who said that? Brian said
Brian that? Said it to me. He texts me. He's like, will you let me know if this opener guy does Brian's sneezing joke? Because he's heard that this guy's been doing his sneezing joke. So I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll let
Holy
you know.
Shit.
Sure enough, the guy goes up there. And he does it verbatim. And this is not just like a joke. This is a bit.
This is a long bit.
He does the eyeballs thing. He does the, I'm gay. You know, when secrets come out,
oh,
you know,
God,
when
gay.
You sneeze, you know, everything. So I'm like, man. So I text
Holy
Brian.
Shit, dude.
I'm like, dude, the guy, yeah, he did it. He did it verbatim, right? So
Ouch.
Brian, I don't remember if he called me or if he texted me. He's like, you say something to him. I'm all the way in California or whatever. So I'm like, ugh. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, you know, he's my friend. I'm like, all right, I'll say something to him, right? I'll say something. The guy gets off stage. Mike Britt goes up, right? Annihilates the room. Just annihilates, right? And it annihilates so much that it's like when he leaves, it's like the show's over really much. And they're like, now we're going to have intermission, more open bar, and then we're going to have
It was like, we just laughed as much as we needed to.
Yeah, they were done,
Mike
man.
Britt has a stack of wet washcloths.
Yeah, they could have dug Richard Pryor up to come up and do a set.
He's
no one would have laughed. Yeah,
blotting his sweat.
Yeah, he had the towel.
Since two minutes.
He was sweating. He was sweating like
that. Poor Mike. He sweats. Man, does he sweat.
Oh,
poor
man,
dude.
He was sweating. So now I'm thinking, I'm like, I got to follow this. So it's like kind of slipped my mind. I got to talk to this guy, but I'm like, I'll talk to this guy later. You know, so I go up. They have the intermission or whatever. I go up, and it, I mean, it was a battle. I did it, but it was, you know, it wasn't great. I didn't bomb, but I didn't, you know, it was like, you know, I made it through, right? So I get off, right, and like, right, now everybody's flocking around Mike Britt, you know, like, you should have put this guy last. Why didn't you put that other guy in fucking retard? Oh, put this guy. What retard booked this fucking show, right? Oh, Jesus, the wheelchair guy comes up to me. He's like, I don't know. You got to work on your skit, whatever that was. He's like, they should have put the black guy. You're fucking retarded. I'm like, just, you know, why don't you just thanks roll away from me, buddy. Roll away.
Roll,
you
know, away.
So I go in this back room, and I'm like hiding out while, every, you know, the crowd love Mike Britt. They love the dude that opened, right?
Right.
So I'm like hiding out. Now, remember the Scalaro
thing.
They
love the dude that opened doing Brian's bit.
Yeah. So now I'm like, well, at least I'm going to say something to this guy. So the guy's like,
Are these your eyes?
We're all going downstairs. There's an after party. We're all going downstairs, and we got to get paid somewhere at the after party, right? So right. I see the after party. The opener guy is just, who did Scalaro's bit, is just hammered. So he's going up. He's dancing with these girls. He's rubbing on them, like the girls he doesn't know, just really to the point where it's really uncomfortable, and we're like, whoa, hey, whoa, and he's like, hey, hachoo, hey, these are your eyes, like he's doing Brian's bit to the girls, like it's part
You're
of
kidding
yeah
me.
He's walking around, when he does something a little rapey, then he'll pull back and he'll be like, hey, I'm sneezing, bro. Yeah, what are you fucking retarded? So I'm like, ah, oh, man, I gotta, you know, and I see the women in the room, because he's going from one to another, and he's just hammered, and it's really, I'm like, damn. So he gets to this one woman, and he's just grinding on her, and she doesn't want. She's like pushing him off, and he's doing the sneezing thing or whatever. It's really, it's so. What Britt's like, fuck, hey, let's man. We're gonna go to the parking lot and smoke a bone. You want? And I'm like, yeah, let's get out of here. So the guy comes, right? So we're in the parking lot.
Wait, the opener guy comes.
With
too?
The opener, he comes too, and I'm like, now's my chance. So we're hitting this J, and we're talking. I'm like, hey man, you know. That sneezing bit you do. He's like, yeah, my sneezing bit. You saw me. I was walking around. I was like, sneezing. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, man, that sneezing bit you do, that's, you know this guy Brian Scalaro? He's like, nah, never heard of him. I'm like, you never heard of him. You never heard of the guy with the eye? I'm like, you guys didn't work together at any point? He's like, nah. And he's like, I'm like, because you got a tremendous chunk of your act is identical to you know, to Brian's thing. And he's like, I don't know. I never heard of the guy. I never hit past that joint or whatever. So I'm like, ah, dude, you know, it's really. And then we hear this crashing in the parking lot, like bang, 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 right? I'm like, what the fuck is this? And we see this van. And it's one of those parking lots that's like you drive up like in a winding staircase, that kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yep, I know what you mean, yeah.
We see this
spiral driveway.
Spiral parking lot driveway thingy.
Ramp.
We see this van crash. It's coming, like, whoever's driving it is shit face, right?
Right.
And it's turning the corner. Bam, it hits a car. Then it drives down. Bang, hits another car. It's turning the other corner. It's coming towards us. I'm like, holy shit. So we move out of the way. It's a van. It pulls down there. The window rolls down. It's the wheelchair guy driving it, right? I don't know how he's driving. He's in there with his wife. He's got like a blow stick or something he's driving it with, like some kind of mouth tube thing. He takes it out of his mouth. He's like, you're fucking retarded. You're retarded, right? Then he drives off. I'm like, this is the worst. This is the worst night ever, right?
You're so like, you could have brought anybody back. You bring that fucking dude.
That fucking guy comes back. So we all go. Mike and I, we all got
to bed. Is it a breathalyzer? Like he was
it's some, like,
into a
it looks
thing
like
to
the tube thing. I don't know how he's. There's all this extra shit in the car, like to manage the driving. I don't know, like some, you know, it's like extra steering wheel stuff and foot things, or I don't know. And there's the wife next to him. She's doing something, but it's like out of some, you know, Battlestar Galactica interior. You know, I've never seen anything like it. But that guy should. So next day. Brick comes, we're driving back, and we get into the lobby. The lobby's trash, right? There's yellow tape or whatever. And Brit's like, did you hear what happened last night? I'm like, what happened? That fucking wheelchair guy probably took somebody out. You put them in a wheelchair. He's like, nah, the dude, the opener guy with the sneezing joke, he goes, the last lady that he ground up on, he goes, that was the promoter's wife. So the middle of the night, she goes back, tells the promoter, the promoter calls him down in the lobby. They have a huge fucking fist fight.
Oh my God.
That guy gets carted away, and now he's never going to work in the New England area again.
Holy shit.
So I called Scolaro. I was like, dude, I think your joke's going to be all right. Nobody's going to be hearing that.
You're going to be good for the next 5 to 10.
It was retarded.
No, forever. He's not going to jail. He's like, pushed out of the city by... Yeah.
But this guy, I don't know, this promoter did
impresario.
A whole lot of...
Yeah. Oh my God, dude, that's insane.
It's crazy. The wheelchair guy driving the van was always what blew me away, man.
Oh,
I was just,
God,
was like, dude. Hammered, too. Hammered,
what?
You know?
He's
fuck you, I'm Mark Wahlberg's cousin. You're retarded.
You're fucking retarded. Oh my God, dude, that is crazy.
Yeah, I Facebooked Scolaro what had happened afterwards, the whole thing.
Brian Scolaro, we got to have him, we got to get him on here telling stories at some point for sure, man. He's a good dude.
Yeah, but that's my sort of travel story, I think.
Yeah, it's a road story, right?
It's a road story.
Who cares? It's a great story. It's a fucking great story, dude.
It was traumatic, man.
At the end, I was like, oh my God, what?
I told Britt next time I'm doing 45 in front of you, brother.
Yeah, dude, if someone does too much time in the middle.
With an intermission, though, dude, afterwards. An intermission, like a 20-minute intermission, they come back, they're even more hammered.
Dude, everything is a great story. Like I think we could just sit here and tell stories all night, and that's fantastic. That's what's so great about this as a show is that it's natural, it's organic. They're real things that happen to us.
Yeah.
We remember them because they made impressions on us, and they're interesting and they're fun. And I love that we're doing this show. I'm so psyched to be sitting here in my basement in my studio with my good friend DC Benny.
Absolutely. And this is a hell of a basement. There's a pool table.
Thanks,
there's booze. There's like a whole band set up. There's bongo. It's just like Matthew McConaughey's basement. There's bongos over here. You know,
it's a fraction the size of McConaughey's basement.
this is nice.
He's got to keep room for all those food rations.
Right.
All the weapons.
The hair plugs.
Yeah, but no clothes. He doesn't need any space for clothes at all.
No.
Just underwear. Just boxer briefs. We're off to a great start. We'll be back with at least one more story after this. All right, we're back with more tall but true tales.
Yeah, you got to tell that story, man, that you told it at Urban Myth once. And it
Which
is one? That ski trip story, man. That you got to tell.
Ski trip.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the ski trip.
Yeah, that is one of my friends. He's like that. He came to almost every Urban Myth. And he's like, that story is my favorite.
Oh, that's all
time story.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, that story.
He knows
wow.
every beat of it. I mean,
oh man, he probably knows it better than I do. But I remember it. Oh, dude, I hope I can remember all the parts of this story.
Was an intricate. I mean, that was a well crafted that thing.
Dude, we were down. It was when I was in college. I was going to Old Dominion down in Norfolk, Virginia, ODU, from which I now have an honorary degree.
Sweet. Those Dr. Cosby degrees.
I guess I got famous enough that they were like, this man should be a graduate. So I have a degree from there now. But I had a great time going to college down there. We partied a lot. We had a great time. Played a lot of sports. I had a whole gang of friends that were like, you know, pretty tight. And I still talk to a handful of them. But my buddy says to us one year, hey, my family's got a cabin up in Seven Springs, Pennsylvania. We should take a road trip up there and go skiing for the weekend. And we're all like, we think about it for a second. And we're like, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Do it.
So we all like pack up our shit. We load up our stuff. And a lot of crazy shit actually happened on this trip. When we were leaving Norfolk, Virginia, my one buddy, this guy George, had this old Cutlass convertible. And we were leaving, and he was driving down the main drag. And he's cruising along in this Cutlass convertible with the top down. It was a really nice day down there. And some dude comes up and is like, hey, nice car, man. That's a cool car. And he's talking to George, and we're like another car over. Yeah. And while he's talking to the guy, he's looking at his car so intensely, like he's so crazed by George's Cutlass
that he fucking hits the gas pedal and just smashes right into the car. Like, George hits the gas and goes, and the guy just goes with him.
Oh.
But his lane wasn't open, and he just drove right into the back of the car, and everyone was like, whoa, what the fuck? So then we left, and we drove from Norfolk, Virginia, up to Seven Springs, Pennsylvania. Long ride. Everybody was driving like fucking maniacs. We get to my buddy's cabin, and we get in there, and it's freezing. Like, it was a nice, warm day in Virginia. We get to the cabin. There's no fucking heat.
Oh, no.
It's like 5 degrees out. It's fucking freezing. And he's like, well, we got to turn on the... He was like, nobody lives here. We're all giving him shit. You know, where's the fucking heat? He's like, nobody lives here. You got to turn on the heater, man. We got to, like, put fuel in. We got to, like... There's a whole bunch of shit we got to do to get the house up and running.
Yeah.
So we do all that shit. We're exhausted. We just drove all the way there. Dude, we did all this work. We got the whole house set up. It's very particular. Like, this is my parents' house. They're really worried that we're going to fuck it up. So don't fucking fuck up my parents' house. And everyone's like, okay, yeah. There's like 8 of us, and it's this little cabin. So we decide we're going to go out. We're going to go out to the local club, which is like at this, there's a ski resort. And there's like this bar in this place. And so we leave our cars and we decide we're going to take the truck that they keep at the house, which is a GMC Jimmy.
Okay.
And we all pile into the GMC Jimmy and we're...
There's a lot of cars in this story.
One of the guys was driving a Honda Civic CRX, a red one.
Yeah.
One guy was driving an old 280Z. Like a pretty badass, pretty badass old school car that he drove like a fucking maniac. So we're all driving like, everybody's driving like nuts. we get into the Jimmy, we all pile into the GMC Jimmy, and we're going out, we're heading to the club, we're cruising along. We're in like these backwoods roads, you know, in the mountains, and we're just cruising along and we're laughing. I can't remember what we're laughing about. All of a sudden, we look up, and there's a deer just, like, right there. Like, boom, right in front of us, just looking at us. And we all just go, ah, boom, and nail it, hit the deer.
Hit the deer?
The Jimmy.
Oh.
The Jimmy, the big, you know, GMC truck Jimmy, an old one, too. Wham, just nails this deer. We all, like, jump out. We go run around. Jimmy, who became known as Jimmy Deer, after this, is dead. He's done. It was quick and painless.
Yeah.
He was like, what's that? Dead. We got out. He's like, we can't just leave him here. I just leave him in the middle of the road. I'm like, all right, what are we going to do? He's like, all right, throw him over the spare tire. It had one of those big spare tire cover things on the back. Like, just throw him on the back. Put him up behind the tire. And we'll take him with us. I'm like, all right. So we throw him up on the thing. And we drive. Cruising along. There's snow on the ground. It's freezing outside. It doesn't make any sense that this part happened, but it fucking happened. Not 10 minutes or 5 minutes after we hit Jimmy Deer, we're all laughing hysterically and making jokes about Jimmy Deer and whatever. Can't believe we killed a deer. Holy shit, this is crazy. We're flying down the road. I swear to God, a bird, a fucking bird in the middle of the night in the dead of winter, not the middle, it's like 8 or 9 o'clock, something like that, flies right into the front, right into the front of the Jimmy. Boom, we had a bird. We're like, what the fuck was that now?
This thing's like Mad Max,
man. We get out and we look, and it's a bird. It's like, it's just smashed into the grill of the Jimmy. And we're like, oh, my God, what is going on? A bird, you know. We roll along. We leave the bird in the...
Left the bird. You put it in the glove compartment.
I don't know if we did or not, but it's better for the story if we did. I can't remember. I might have said so. I probably remembered it so much better when I was telling it earlier. Oh, dude, I haven't told anyone this story in so long. So we hit a bird, and then as the night goes on, we continue to hit animals. We hit, I think we ran over a squirrel. I'm pretty sure we ran over a fucking squirrel on the way home. We went to the bar.
It was a menagerie of animals.
It was. We hit everything that, that could be hit. I stepped on a dog at one point. I stepped on a... So we go to the bar. The people at that bar were not the friendliest toward us because we weren't the people that hung out there all the time, you know. They were like the locals were at the...
Killed half their livestock.
Yeah, they killed every animal for 100 miles. You came in with that evil, Jimmy. That thing's evil. So we drink at the bar all night long. We're hammered. We're doing ridiculous things. And then we get back in the Jimmy to go home. And we're laughing. And we're driving along. We're cruising along. We're laughing. Next thing I know... he's sober. He's responsible now. He's driving his dad's truck. He's the voice of reason here. We're cruising along, and then I realize I turn around, I look, and I realize that the guys in the back are all passed out. It's just me and Furlong cruising along. Everybody else is asleep, and I'm in the front seat, and we're just cruising along. And I'm like, "What's up, man?" He's like, "We're almost out of gas." I'm like, wait, what? You're fucking with me, right? He's like, "No, man, no, we didn't. I thought we had more than we thought, or we didn't gas it up, or I can't remember exactly. We put too much in the snowmobile, some shit, because there were snowmobiles. I think those came later, though. But so we're running out of gas. We're on a country road in the middle of nowhere.
God. Oh, that's awful.
And it's fucking zero out. It's fucking 0 degrees. These guys are passed out in the back of the truck.
The ski trip.
We can't even see a house.
Yeah.
We can't see a fucking house. We keep driving. I'm like, "What are we going to do?" "Just keep driving. We'll make it. We don't fucking make it. Truck runs out of gas, dies on the side of the road. And we're like, "Son of a bitch. What the fuck are we going to do?" Like, "I guess we'll start walking." So we decided we'd push it a little bit, get it up over a ridge, and then we'll let it roll as far as we can. Maybe we'll see a house or something down side of the hill. We push it up the hill a little bit. You got the dudes in the back passed out. We roll them and the truck up the hill, over the hill. We jump in. We go down the hill past like a little thicket of trees. We come around the corner, there's a fucking house right there, which we couldn't see at all. And we're like, "Oh my God, there's a house. And there's one across the street. There's lights on at one of them, which is a little further away and like back across the backyard of one of them, you know?"
It's like a beginning of a horror movie.
Dude, it's got to be 4 in the morning by now, or at least 3 something. So we're like, "All right, I guess we'll go start knocking on doors so we don't fucking die because it's so cold. We can't stay out here." So I go up to a porch and I'm knocking on the door. I'm knocking. I can't remember if anybody came to mind. I think a guy came to the to